when I fill in like this, I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what topic? Is there a specific section of scripture that you want to go over in that? And I enjoy that in that. Now, what he gave me for this morning is temptation. Yeah. Well, it's an important subject, and we'll get into that, right? And we're going to look, there's two main passages. We're going to use the temptation of Jesus as our learning point, our stepping off point. And that's really covered in two chapters, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. We're going to mostly emphasize Matthew in that, although they're very similar in that. Now, there we go. I always like to have a goal as to what the purpose is. What are we doing here this morning, right? I think there's four goals that we want to hopefully accomplish here this morning in the next hour. One, learn the devil's strategies for using temptation. Two, see how Jesus dealt with temptation. Three, learn from Jesus' example. And four, form a strategy for beating temptation. Right? Does that seem like it makes some sense? Okay, well, let's define what we're talking about. Right? If we go to the Hebrew, the word that gets translated as temptation in your Bibles today, in the Hebrew is masah, which means a testing of men. The word that we get from the Greek is perasmos, a putting to proof, solicitation, provocation. A little different. Here's a definition that I found that I thought was appropriate. A trial in which man has a free choice of being faithful or unfaithful to God. I think that's a good working definition. Now, let me ask a question. Have you ever faced temptation? Raising hands? Anyone who says that they haven't is probably being tempted to lie. Okay, but think about it, right? And that, you know, there's some people who come to faith in the Lord and they think everything after they accept Jesus as Savior is going to be just hunky-dory, right? The truth is that we have an enemy on this earth, a spiritual enemy, who wants to separate us from the Lord. And so as soon as we declare, accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that, now we've put a target on our back, right? And the enemy is going to go after us. Let's face it, if I'm not a believer, I'm probably celebrating my temptation. It's like happy hour. I drank more than everybody else at happy hour on Friday night, right? Isn't that the way it works for non-believers? And then I see smiles out there, so you guys know what I'm talking about, right? As believers, right now, we know we're supposed to resist temptation, right? And so that just amps up the enemy, right? Now, we all face temptation, but the Lord has a promise for us, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 10. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Common to mankind. We all face it. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's critical, because when we're tempted, we think we can't bear the temptation. He will not let us be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, what does temptation look like? I did pick out a good graphic for this one, didn't I? Well, the truth is that when the enemy comes at us, he doesn't always come looking like a snake with a forked tongue sticking out to get us. A lot of times, temptation comes in many forms, and some of them look quite innocent. We're all children of God, right? I'm a king's kid, right? I'm made in the image of God. I should have some pride, but pride shouldn't be my God, right? I made my living for 27 years telling people to save money and live frugally so that they had some money, some resources when times got hard. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I make money my idol, possessions my idol, now I've got a problem. The Lord wants us to enjoy earthly pleasures. He doesn't want that to dominate our life. Doesn't want that to be my end all, add all. And that, right? Well, what are the costs of falling to temptation? Because the costs of falling to temptation ultimately are big, right? They're addictions. Alcohol, drugs, food, greed, right? When we're dealing with temptation on a regular basis, we become very self-centered. It's all about me. I need to take care of me. I don't care about you. It's all about me.
Me first.
Me first, right? And yet, what is Christ? Jesus was others-centered. So if I'm going to be more like Jesus, I need to be other-centered, not me-centered, right? When I'm falling to temptation and people don't acknowledge or help my temptation, my failure, and that they don't say, oh, you're okay. Yeah, you were born an alcoholic, it's all right. When they don't say that, I treat them with unforgiveness. Okay. Falling to temptation can lead to physical illness, can lead to mental illness. It leads to being bound by whatever that you're being tempted by. But the most important thing is that a separation from the Lord. That's the biggest cost of temptation. Now, the enemy is happy with a small victory today. He's not going to tempt me this afternoon and say, hey, here, why don't you take this injection of heroin? He's not going to do that. He might tell me, well, you know, what's wrong with smoking a little joint? He's happy to get you with a little temptation, to fall to a little temptation today, because tomorrow he will go after a bigger temptation.
He's very patient.
He's very patient. Yes, Brett, you're absolutely right. Right? Now, temptation is as old as Adam and Eve. Right? Think about it. Right? The devil tempts Adam and Eve, right? They fall, and what did they do? They hid from God, right? Where before the fall, they would walk through the garden with the Lord every day. They were together. After the fall, they hid from God. When we fall to temptation, we separate ourselves from God. So what practical things can we learn by studying how Jesus dealt with temptation? Right. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one on the chair in front of you, either a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right. Everybody with us? Good. Verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, the first question that comes to my mind is, why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? Right? Why would the Holy Spirit do that? Well, the Holy Spirit did it because Jesus needed to withstand the temptations that we face. Jesus provided here for us, and it's in both Gospels, an example of how to deal with temptation. All right. Now, just to be clear, right, the Holy Spirit cannot tempt us, but we may be led by the Holy Spirit to a place where we can be tempted. This is not to prove anything to God. Whether I stand or fall to temptation, the Lord already knows what's going to happen. He already knows. I'm the one that doesn't know. The devil doesn't know how I will react to that temptation. And that. So it proves something to me. If I fall, I know this is a place I'm weak and I need to get better. If I'm strong and withstand it, it builds my faith in that, in my trust in the Lord and my relationship with Him. Now, you may have heard me say, I've been interested in fasting for a while. Right? Now, something's interesting about fasting, right? The first few days that you go on a fast, and that your body tends to consume the fat that you've stored up, mostly around the middle, and that after a longer period, and that when that fat is gone, the body begins to consume muscle because it needs energy to run. In fact, your brain, I think, I forget what the percentage was, a huge percentage, like 70% of the energy that your body uses is consumed by your brain. Little side note, that's totally immaterial. Anyway, when you get to about day 40, at that point, the body is in survival mode. It's pretty much consumed as much muscle as it can consume for energy, and now it starts consuming organs. In fact, by day 40, in that, the body is dying. It's literally starving to death. And so that's where Jesus was at the time of this temptation. The enemy waited till he was at his most vulnerable. Now, something comes to my mind, right? When I'm facing a temptation, right, and I've heard it say, oh, you know, it was too strong, I just couldn't withstand it. Well, excuse me, did you just finish a 40-day fast? I'm in a much better position to face temptation and overcome it than Jesus was, right? Because he faced this as a man. I have no excuse, right? Notice, too, that the devil didn't send a subordinate, right? He went after him himself, right? And the temptations that Jesus faced were greater than anything that you and I will face, right? In verse 3, the devil's, notice it says the tempter, right? That's what the devil is. He's a tempter, right? He says, if you are the Son of God, right? He starts by questioning Jesus' relationship with the Lord. And that's what he does with us. He questions our relationship with the Lord. Right? The devil goes on to say, tell these stones to become bread. Quite often, his temptation to you and I is going to come in the form of physical needs. It's going to come because I'm a little short of cash this month, and maybe stealing from my boss seems like a good idea because I need to feed my family, right? And you know, we can ask ourselves, well, what if I'm really, really hungry? After 40 days, I've never done a 40-day fast, but I suspect that you're very, very hungry after 40 days, right? But that's not the question. That's not the question. The question that the enemy wants to get at is my relationship with the Lord. When I'm facing a temptation, I don't need to focus on the food, the bread. I need to focus on my relationship with the Lord. And we'll get into more of that later. Matthew 6 tells us, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? When we face an issue for our physical needs, who is my supplier? Do I rely on me or do I rely on the Lord? And frankly, who has more power, more authority to supply my needs, me or the Lord? Pretty obvious answer, right? It's the Lord. Right? When we're facing a temptation, don't take your eye off the ball. It's not about our physical needs. It's about our relationship with the Lord. That's the key to withstanding temptation, is recognizing what the real temptation is. It's about our relationship with the Lord. Right? I'll tell you a story. Right? Before I retired, for 27 years, I ran a small publishing company. And one of the things that we did was we did private label newsletters for credit counseling agencies, right? And that they're supposed to provide education to their clients. That's part of the reason that they're a nonprofit 501c3. Right? And so what we would do, we would collect the articles, put them together, take their cover and quite often a column from their founder, president, whoever. They would send us a mailing list, right, of their clients. We would send it to our print shop, who would do a draft PDF for the print. We would send it up to the credit counseling agency for approval. They would approve it. We would send it back to the printer. They would print out copies and mail them for us. And then we would get a check in the mail. It's good business. We had a couple of large clients, right? Well, there's one, and they had, I don't know, about 13 or 14,000 clients at the time, right? And one month, they wanted something added to the front page, right? And it was something, and I forget what it was all included, but what's included was their 1-800 number, their toll-free number, right? So we included it, sent it over to the print shop. Well, the young lady at the print shop, trying to be helpful, said that the graphic that we sent wasn't good enough to print. It was too low resolution. So she recreated it for us. I didn't think anything of it. Sent it off to the credit counseling agency. They approved it. We printed 13,000 copies and mailed them. Two weeks later, we realize that the credit counseling agency, in their graphic, it was 1-888. But she had put 1-800. So we had sent the wrong toll-free number out on 13,000 newsletters to their clients. But that's not the kicker. It wasn't to another business. It wasn't to another credit counseling agency. It was to a pay-per-minute porn line. Oh, yeah. Okay, now, my first temptation is to pray that nobody notices, right? Okay, I didn't say I was the smartest guy on the planet, you know. But I prayed, right, and it quickly dawns on me that it's better if I go talk to the president of the credit counseling agency and confess as to what's happened. Now, a second temptation was I could have blamed the person at the print shop, right, a good Christian organization, and I knew Craig for years. And that, but really, it was just a mistake, right? I could have blamed the girl at the credit counseling agency. She was the one who approved it. But ultimately, if it's a newsletter that I send out, we're ultimately responsible for it. So I called it, you know. Trust me, I wrestled with it at night. The temptation was strong. And that, but, you know, the next morning, you know, the Lord led me to call and say, look, you know, do you want us to send out a letter apologizing to people? Do you want us to reprint newsletters with the correct number and send it out to everything at our cost? Just tell me what to do. And the truth is that the Lord took care of it. They were gracious about it. They said, we understand. It's just a human mistake. mistakes happen, and they were very gracious about it, right? Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Now you can imagine where my understanding might have led me in this case. Jason, you have a microphone. You have your own microphone back there.
Yep, sorry. As you were saying that, you were talking about the it damages the relationship with the Lord. Mm. But what came to me also is that it's the same tactic over and over again from the enemy. In the garden with Jesus, you know, did God really tell you you can't eat from the tree? Mm. If you are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These are doubting questions. It's the very minuscule thing that's there. It's the little itty-bitty lie that he knows that you, with your flesh, are going to focus on. And I didn't understand why in the announcements that I made such a big deal about the Bible study, but I think I get it now. You need that accountability. You need somebody that's going to point you back to Christ. Because if you continue to follow down that lie, you're going to just go to your own demise. You need somebody that will point you back or get you back on track, maybe with a hug, like I said, or a Bible verse or something. So, sorry, I wanted to just get that out there.
No, you're, if I didn't know better, I think you'd know what slide is coming up a half hour from now. Okay. Right. Now, Jesus, how does Jesus respond to the enemy? All right. He responds with Scripture. All right. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He focuses back on his relationship with the Lord. He goes to Scripture. Now, we too can rely on Scripture. All right. But the truth is, no matter how long you've been in the Word and that, when you're faced with a temptation, maybe it's time that you need to do a little extra study. Maybe it's time to do a word study. Maybe it's time to go to that Google machine and say, you know, what passages talk about this temptation that I'm facing? Right? But notice that Jesus' reply points us back to the Lord. Right? Our word study will point us back to the Lord. Just what Jason was saying. Jason, can you bring the mic back to Dottie, please?
Oh, thanks. When you had Proverbs 3:5 up there, mm-hmm. what really struck me was when I give in to temptation, mm-hmm. I'm effectively telling God that he is not Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it's exactly right. And you guys are ahead of me. This is just not working out. Okay. All right. Well, now, verses 5 through 7. Right. Round 2. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Right? Notice once again, the enemy, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, what's your relationship to the Lord? Asking it again. Throw yourself down. Prove your relationship to the Lord. In other words, what he's saying is put your relationship to the Lord to the test. Right? The enemy wants to know whether we really trust the Lord or not.
This passage also shows us that the devil knows very well the Word of God, because mm-hmm. he's quoting it there, for it is written.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so he's very tricky.
Yes, yes. But he is tricky. Oops. Let me ask a question of you. Have you ever said, Lord, if you really love me, you'll do this thing for me? Come on. Come on. Be honest. Right? When we do that, we're putting God to the test. All right? We're revealing our lack of faith in him, our lack of trust. And if you think about it, right? God sends Jesus to the cross to die for us, for our sins, so we can have a relationship with him. How do you top that? Right? Does putting out a fleece, giving me a specific job, taking care of a health issue, does that trump sending Jesus to the cross to die for us? How much more can he prove, for crying out loud? He's already proved it. Now, as Brett says, right, Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Right? And Jesus looked beyond the challenge of the enemy. Looked beyond the challenge of the enemy, right? Because the devil's a deceiver. Right? He's the father of lies. Right? So whatever he's whispering in your ear when he's tempting you, there's a portion of it that's lies. It isn't true. It just simply is not true. Right? So understanding how the temptation is challenging us, understanding how the temptation is challenging us leads us to a godly answer. And I'm not going to toss. No, I'm not going to toss it, Jane. That's asking for trouble.
I'm going to touch on what Brett was saying about the devil using the word, sorry, and that he knows the word more than we do. A lot of the temptation when people are in society now, this world's convinced us that we can live on grace and forgiveness, and that's where the devil uses the word in his advantage to tempt us, because then he puts that thought in your mind, well, it's okay. You can just ask for forgiveness. And a lot of people fall into that temptation trying to live on grace and forgiveness and mm-hmm. not abiding by God's word. And that's mm-hmm. how they get trapped, leading down that road into mm-hmm. bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And all the cost of temptation that we talked about a little bit earlier. Right now, as you said, right? The devil wants us to believe that it's something simple, unimportant, right? But knowing what the battle is essential to winning the battle of temptation, right? The devil quotes scripture. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Right? That's straight out of the book, right? It must be true. Well, let's look at it in full context. It's from Psalm 91. I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. See what the enemy did? Struck out the middle. But this is an if-then promise. This isn't an absolute promise. If you say, the Lord is my refuge. Right? Well, what did the devil challenge Jesus to do? Question his relationship with the Lord. And in effect, not say that the Lord is my refuge. If he had responded to the devil the way the devil wanted, he would be denying that the Lord is his refuge. And then in the last verse 14, because he loves me, right? Because he loves me, the Lord will protect us. Because we love him. If we love him, do we really question? Do we really question him? Right now, we can make the argument, well, wait a second. If I jump off this high, this point of the temple, right, and fly down, people are going to notice, right? This is going to set social media off into all kinds of craziness and glorify the Lord, right? Come on, I mean, you know, that's... And yet, it's important to get it right, right? It's about the Lord. It's about trusting in the Lord, not putting him to the test, right? It's important to get it right. In verse 7, Jesus says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We're foolish when we test the Lord.
Isn't it really saying God is more important than me?
Yes.
You have to say it that way, asking him, make me more important than,
yes,
than
yes,
what you had planned.
Exactly right. The Lord is more important than me. Yes, exactly right. But don't expect the devil to quit easy, right? Verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Right? We're all tempted by worldly things. Right? I like to have a spiritual, eternal perspective, but I marinate in this world that I live in. I can't help but be affected by the traffic on Cortez Road during season. It's just what it is, right? I have to have dinner, and that means somebody needs to prepare it. I like to have a roof over my head, right? I like to have friends, companionship. We all have physical things. We're tempted by worldly things, right? And so it's not surprising that the enemy comes at us with worldly things, right? And he says, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Right? When we worship things, we're worshiping the devil. And it's the sad truth of it. When we worship things, we're worshiping the devil. Right? Jesus' response is to worship the Lord, not the stuff. That should be our response when we're tempted by things, by the world. Right? The devil left Jesus at this point. Right? He can't stand it when we worship the Lord. He can't stand it when we worship the Lord. Right. Notice, too, at the end of verse 11, that the angels came and attended him. When we withstand temptation, the Lord will minister to those who worship him. We don't do it in a void. The Lord sees what we're doing, and he knows that we need to be ministered to in those times. Right? In verses 13 and 14, it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Now, the Holy Spirit was with Jesus throughout the temptation. And he's with you and me when we face temptation. We feel like we're facing the temptation alone, but we're not. If you call Jesus your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. So you face it with the Holy Spirit. You don't face it alone. Let me tell you another story. After a stint in financial planning in the 80s, I went to work for a mainframe computer company, right? This would have been in 1989. And we were making big computer systems, and that for public utilities, and the average system in those days would cost about $400,000. You know, and this was in the day when a 20 megabyte disk drive was the size of an end table and cost $20,000. Different time. Well, after I got there, I was responsible for production and inventory control, which meant scheduling the factory, purchasing materials, scheduling all the materials, all that type of thing. After I was there for a short time, they brought in who I'm going to call my friend Bill. Right. Well, Bill was, he was frankly the most, Lord, what word can I use? Difficult man that I've ever had to be around on a regular basis. He was profane. He couldn't get two sentences out without cursing. He treated people like dirt. What galled me especially is, like I say, I was responsible for purchasing, and he had arranged it so that all our electronic components had to be purchased through one supplier who happened to be his son's live-in girlfriend. She was another piece of work, which hurt my integrity. And that I had a buyer who said, "I'm going to expose him," and I told him, I said, "Sam, it's going to cost you your job," and it did. Bill was so bad. I remember one day we were in a staff meeting. Bill was about 5'5", 5'6", and we were in a staff meeting. And one day he threw a magic marker at Jack. Now Jack was about 6'4". I thought he was going to kill Bill. I really did, but he didn't. One Monday morning, I come into work. And Bill was single at the time because nobody could stay married to this guy. Anyway, word spread in the factory that something happened to him at a restaurant, right? And he was rushed to a hospital, and he was still there on Monday morning, right? And nobody knew his status. So two guys that worked for me came into my office, closed the door, and they said, "We know that you're a Christian. Are you praying that he lives or that he dies?" Wow. It was a good question. It was a good question. I mean, I used to check his forehead periodically to see that he didn't have 666 tattooed on it. He was a piece of work, trust me. You know, working for him every day was a challenge, right? Well, the real temptation, though, was that I would get calls periodically from headhunters. And they would say, "You know, we understand things are kind of challenging there. I can have an interview for you this week if you're interested." And I would tell them, "Well, let me think about it." What I meant was, "Let me pray about it." And I'd pray about it, and the answer I got was, "No, I want you to be there." And it's like, "Lord, it's hard to have any kind of a witness here. This is a miserable environment. I hate Sunday night because it means Monday morning is coming." Seriously. And yet, you know, he kept me there. You know, what I didn't know was that he had me in the exact right place, the right time, to start the business that I would start in 1996. And that had it been someplace else, I don't think I would have been able to start this business. The Lord knows what we don't know. And turning to him to survive the temptation, it's amazing what it does for your life. Now, right, in Luke 6 it says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." I admit, it was rare that I prayed for my friend Bill. And I wonder if things would have been different if I prayed more for him and prayed a blessing on him. That maybe, who knows, he might have come to the Lord. I'm ashamed to admit that I didn't do that. Someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Right now, notice Jesus overcame temptation before he began ministry. Right? You'll notice, right, in Luke 4:13-14, it says, "When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time." Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Right, now, something occurs to me when I face temptation. Is the Lord preparing me to minister to others? And everyone in this room is a minister in one form, shape, or place. No matter how young or how old, no matter what your job title is, no matter what your function here is at Home Fellowship, we're all ministers in one way or another. Right? Now, 1 Thessalonians, in a verse that I love but challenges me, says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit." Look at what it says. Rejoice always. Be joyful. Well, can I be joyful when I'm being challenged and being tempted? Pray continually. Oh, okay, I can pray. I can pray when I'm being tempted. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, wait, now you cross the line. You cross the line. I'm being tempted to do something that I shouldn't do, and I'm to give thanks for this time? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's trying to turn me so that I'm more like my Savior? Do not quench the Spirit. Oh, that's how I do this. That's how I do this. I rely on the Holy Spirit. I rely on prayer to get me through these things so that I can give thanks for it. Okay, now. Yes, wait, where did the microphone go? Oh, give it to Mark, please. Are you going to make me try to do this? Okay.
Yeah, it says rejoice always. It does not say be happy.
No.
Okay, there's a difference between joy and happiness.
Yes.
Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on our relationship and our satisfaction with that relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Okay, now let's try to get application for our lives, right? How do I overcome temptation? So I got to ask you, let's see, how long have I been preaching? Well, Darren, you've been up here about 45 minutes. Oh, geez, thank you. Okay. I couldn't help it, forgive me. I know what time it is. Okay. And go from the absurd to this. Oh, never, we won't go. Okay. Okay. Now, these are tools to help us overcome temptation. The first one is to avoid it. Okay? Tell you a story. Years ago, I was at a church and we used to use evangelism explosion as an outreach tool, right? And sometimes we would do street evangelism. We'd take groups out to, you know, this was in Fort Lauderdale. We might go to the beach or to a mall and just talk to people. Well, we had a young pastor, and he was kind of known. He would take his group to in the parking lot of a neighborhood strip club. Well, now, you think about it. People walking, whether they be customers or employees, they need the Lord, right? Logical place to share. Unfortunately, months later, we found out that, well, it wasn't just out in the parking lot. He was inside and was cheating on his wife. So if I know I have a temptation, I need to avoid it, right? If I have a problem with alcohol, right, I shouldn't go to restaurants to serve alcohol. It's really quite simple, right? Proverbs says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your own way." Know where you're vulnerable. Right? I think back, and this is sad. And that when I was a broker, we had a fellow by the name of Jim, and he was a recovering alcoholic, and he was doing well. He'd been sober for a while, and that, and he was getting himself established as a stockbroker. And that, brokers have a habit on Friday night to go out for happy hour, which is to me the most misnamed event. Yeah, because nobody's happy. They're bitching about their wife, their boss. They're complaining about something. Anyway, one of the other fellows invited Jim to join them on happy hour. Right. Oh, you can come. You just have a ginger ale. You don't need to drink anything. Yeah, well, he went, and they found him halfway up the state 3 days later in a drunken stupor. And if you know what your temptation is, avoid it. Overcoming temptation, depend on Scripture, right? Ephesians 6 tells us, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? The Word of God, it's the sword. It's the sword. And that's our battle tool. Don't rely on what you know. Dig into Scripture to see what it says about the temptation that you're facing. Right? Pray. Right? Matthew, it says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Right? When I face temptation, I go and pray to the Lord. Lord, take this temptation away. Take the temptation away from me. Because alone, I am not able to withstand it for long. Maybe for a short season, but not for long. One of two things will happen. Either he will take it away right then, so I don't have to continue to face it right then. Or if it continues, I need to go back to the Lord and go, Lord, is there some unconfessed sin in my life that's allowing the enemy to keep tempting me? And the Lord will tell me what I need to deal with him. Sometimes we need to have, what do they call it, a come to Jesus moment? Mm-hmm. Pray too. Right? Jesus, right, in Mark 9, right, he's talking about the demons. Right? And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Right? Don't wait till you're being tempted to go to prayer. Be in prayer on a regular basis. Be prayed up before you're tempted. Have your foundation, have a solid foundation before the temptation comes. Don't be standing on sand. Stand on concrete, the Word of God. Pray, right? Be prayed up on a daily basis. This, I think, is very practical. Think of something else. I read recently, right? I love it. Young people, they say, oh, I'm multitasking. I got news for you. The science shows that nobody can think of two things at the same time. We'll switch back and forth, and we call it multitasking. Well, we are, but the truth is we're actually less efficient when we're doing that than if we focus on one and then later on we focus on the other. So if my mind is thinking about temptation, right, and our mind tends to loop, tends to stay on the same subject, wants to stay there. Right, so if I'm thinking of a temptation, struggling with it, if I take my mind and think of something totally different, baseball, I don't know, a video game, whatever that's different than temptation, my mind can't be thinking about the temptation at the same time. Right? 2 Corinthians tells us, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Sounds like a temptation, doesn't it? Sets itself up against God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right? Now, I can say with confidence, the Lord does not tell us to do something if he does not give us the ability to do it. He tells us to take every thought captive. So I have a tempting thought, The battle is in my brain. I can take that thought captive. For me to say, oh, I'm unable to fight it, well, that's a lie. Frankly, it's baloney. Right? You're in control of your mind. I'm in control of my mind. I have no excuse. Right? Consider the consequences, right? It's a little bit like we just heard, right? When we succumb to temptation, we go, oh, well, the Lord will forgive me. Well, the Lord, yes, the Lord will forgive you. But you're hurting yourself. You're hurting the people around you. You're hurting your loved ones. You're hurting your relationship with the Lord. You're putting yourself in bondage. You're ruining your relationship with the Lord. That's a pretty expensive fall to temptation. Right? Romans 6 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? We fall when we don't consider where we're going. It's about our relationship. Focus on eternal perspectives. Right? Colossians tells us, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Right? The devil, when he tempts us, he wants me to think about satisfying what I want right now. Mm-hmm. It's all about the next 3 minutes, the next 5 minutes. And then, well, what is right now compared to eternity? It's a speck, a dot. It's nothing. Can we get a microphone back to Jason, please? I don't know who has it.
All right, so yes, keeping things up there, but I wanted to go back to your scripture message. And I'm sorry if you touched on this already and I didn't hear it, but you were talking about the devil in scripture with the Bible verse that's quoted when he tempted the Psalm yes. 91. Mm-hmm. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What you guys need to understand is we need to know scripture, because Psalm 91, this verse is not complete. The actual verse is he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, if your ways are completely defiant against God,
mm-hmm. yes. Yes.
That promise is not there.
Yes.
But Satan left that out.
Yes.
Jesus yeah. knew the word, but he knows it as well. See, we're not as armored up as we think we are sometimes to know these things. And I wanted to point that out, that this yeah. clearly yeah, states no. that there is a missing word yeah, or no. a missing phrase from that. Along with that, I also wanted to touch on what you were saying, that yes, the Lord will forgive you. Yeah. Yes, he will. But there is a difference between being remorseful because of the outcome of a situation and repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the repentance is what is needed for the forgiveness
yes.
of sins.
Yeah. No, thank you, Jason. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. The enemy, he paraphrased in that. And, you know, and we all have a temptation to do that. Right? We can paraphrase things. Right?
Amen. Isn't the temptation, though, not what you have right now, but what you want? So it's, you already yes. have what you need.
Pass the microphone over, please. So those on live stream, don't yell at us.
The idea of what you have right now is what you need. God has always provided us what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The wants, those are what are tempting us.
Yes.
The things we don't we mm-hmm. think we may think we don't have, but we already have what we need. So the idea of what is right now is already there, and you have it.
True. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you yes. can't be tempted by what you already have.
Yes.
It's what you yes. want.
Yes.
That isn't there
yeah.
that you want to think
yeah.
somebody or someone else can provide
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
In that. No, and in fact, it's funny. I mean, yeah. you know, as a past financial planner, part of what I talked to people about was the difference between needs and wants. And that, you know, needs are one thing, wants are something different. And our wants are usually bigger than, they're always bigger than our needs, but they're quite often bigger than our pocketbooks and our ability. But they're also what the enemy plays with. And that, you know, the Lord provides what we need. No, I think I think we're good. We're good again.
Yep.
No, I think I bumped it, George.
No, I'm just about out of battery
power. Oh, am I really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'm just about out of time. I'm just about out of time too. Okay. And then, well, let me go as long as I can this way. Okay. This got mentioned earlier. Seek help from a brother or sister. When I was a young believer, I was blessed. There were three of us that would get together on Saturday mornings in an accountability group. When you're facing a temptation that comes back to you on a regular basis, it's good to have a brother or sister that's going to call you and say, hey, how did you do this week? Did you stand up to it or did you fall? Because none of us like to admit that we fell in that. Right? Proverbs 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A time of temptation, right? Accountability makes a good decision much easier. Overcome the temptation multiple times. Notice that the devil keeps coming back to Jesus, right? Now, if I overcome the temptation today, right, chances are the enemy is going to come back tomorrow or the day after and try again, right? Now, contrary, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in our mind. The enemy can only do, he doesn't know what's going on in our mind. He only knows to watch what we do, how we respond to certain situations. Time's up. Okay. Just about, guys. Give me a couple more minutes. A couple more minutes, I promise we're through. The pastors always say that. Okay, if he comes back the second time, right? Now I'm a little stronger because I know I can overcome the temptation. And I overcome it a second time. I overcome a third time. At some point, the devil doesn't give up on the first try. But if he sees me win over and over, at some point he goes, you know what? I can't win this battle. And that I need to try a different temptation on Gary. That one's not going to work anymore. You need to change your thinking. Right. When we fall to temptation, we reinforce in our minds that we can't stand up to it. When we overcome temptation, especially when we do it over and over, we build in our mind that we can overcome the temptation, that we can withstand it. Our faith in the Lord grows. Our relationship with Him grows. Now, here's a question that we all have to face. What happens if... No, when I fall, because none of us are perfect, right? Well, 1 John tells us what to do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess when we fall. We need to repent and ask the Lord to give us strength for the next time that we face that same temptation. So how do we do against our goals? Right. Well, I think we saw the devil's strategies. Right. We saw how Jesus dealt with them. We learned from his example. And we've got a strategy for beating temptation in our lives. Here's a final thought. We will either surrender to the Lord or to temptation. We're all going to surrender one way or another. We're going to surrender to the Lord or to temptation. And we get to make the choice. God gives us free will. He's not going to force us to behave. The devil can't force us to fall. We get to make a choice. So I would encourage you, let's make a decision today. Let's make the decision today to withstand temptation, build our relationship with the Lord, become more like our Savior. Would you all stand and join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our Savior did provide this evidence, this method, this tool for withstanding temptation, Lord. He showed us the way, not only the way to withstand temptation, but the way back to you, Lord. We thank you for that. But Lord, now I ask that you would bless everyone here, Lord. Put on each person's mind the temptation that they are most susceptible to, Lord. And then give them the strength, the courage, the tools that they need to overcome that temptation. Become more like our Savior, more like the disciples of Christ that you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can meet together in your house, in your name, and be blessed by you. And I ask your blessing on each and every person here and all those who are watching live stream as well, Lord. And I ask this in the name of our blessed Savior Jesus. All of God's children said, amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. See you on Tuesday night.